Welcome to Inside Personal Growth Podcast. Deep dive with us as we unlock the secrets to personal development, empowering you to thrive. Here, growth isn't just a goal, it's a journey. Tune in, transform, and take your life to the next level by listening to just one of our podcasts. Welcome back to Inside Personal Growth. This is Greg Voisin, the host of Inside Personal Growth. And joining us from Toronto, Canada, is Dr. Lise Janelle, DC. Good day to you, Dr. Lise. How are you doing?
Hello, Greg. Nice to be with you. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you on Inside Personal Growth. Yeah, Dr. Lise and I have talked as well. And I'm actually going to do a session with her on Friday, and I'm looking forward to that. But I'm going to let the listeners know a bit about you. She's got a new book out called Conversations with the Heart, Reveal Yourself to Yourself. And you can get that on Amazon. We're going to have a link to Amazon. Dr. Lise draws upon her extensive experience as a transformational coach to help you break free from a cycle of searching for something without finding it. With her guidance, you can unlock your potential and discover what you're seeking. All of the tools provided by Dr. Lise are in that book. Over the course of two decades, she's helped countless people achieve transformative results, regardless of difficult paths or seemingly impossible challenges. She helps them achieve success and for all transforming their life. And make sure that you go out today and look for the website. And we were just talking about this. It's Conversation, Conversation, not S, no S on it, with theheart.com. There you can learn more about Dr. Lise, her appearances, the book, the audiobook, the ebook, and what others are saying about it. She's got quite an extensive background and comes well-versed to be able to speak with us today about this. So, Dr. Lise, can you tell the listeners, I know you're a doctor of chiropractic, because that's what DC stands for, a little bit about yourself and your background and what inspired you to write this book, Conversation with the Heart. I'm going to keep repeating that to myself because the S plural makes a big difference. Conversation with the Heart.
Yes, when I was creating the title, I wanted it to be a continuous conversation. So that's why I didn't put the S. So,
okay.
Like, ideally, the ideal state of being is to be constantly connected with the heart so it can be guiding us. So how did I come about doing this work? In 1988, my father was diagnosed with terminal cancer and given 9 months to live. That was 3 weeks before my sister's wedding. 1 week after my sister's wedding, my 21-year-old brother died in a car accident. And within a month of all this, my 8-year relationship to the man I thought I was going to marry ended. And it was like, ow, ow, ow. So, you know, these things that happen in their life, I find they are divinely designed just for us. I was not aware that one day I would be doing what I'm doing. But to survive the pain that I was feeling, I went on a quest to understand, how do you live life when these things happen? Because it's not if, it's when. When these things happen, how don't you go flat like a pancake? How can you use it to your advantage? So on my quest to understand, you know, how to live a great life, I met two great mentors to me, and they're both chiropractors. One is Dr. Scott Walker, who teaches a mind-body method called NET, Neuro-Emotional Technique. And it's amazing as a chiropractor. Like, I could have 10 patients with same low back condition, 8 of them would get better, and the 2 of them would not until I found that tool. And then, like, my Recovery rate increased even more. Like sometimes when there's too much tissue damage, it won't. But so it was amazing for me. I just loved, loved, loved using it. And then I started using it with my patients when they were stuck, and that was great. And then I met Dr. John DeMartini, and John teaches the power of gratitude. And so I ended up working with my patients, with my clients, and I ended up combining the two because Aniti is beautiful, but I wanted to bring a spiritual aspect to it. And for me, the highest form of spirituality is unconditional love. It's for me, God is love, gratitude, all these things, they're all connected. And then in 2004, I became a full-time coach. I had to leave my cushy life as a chiropractor, which I love being a chiropractor. I was like, my patient loved me. I love my patient. I worked 25 hours a week. I took 12, 13 weeks off per year. I did lots of seminars during that time. I had everything. Like, it was a good life. But in 1989, I had written a mission statement for my life. And the career statement said that I was going to help maximize the life of millions of people through reconnecting them with their heart. Why? Because in 1989, I had this most powerful spiritual experience where, through doing this exercise with Dr. DeMartini, I was opening my heart to my father. I had been really angry with my father for a long time. But then when I started to do the work, slowly but surely, I started to see the big picture of the perfection of having had my father. And then this man who reminded me of my father, I saw him, he got really upset and he says, "Mother, why is it you never loved me?" So my heart went kaboom because I understood that was my father's story. And in that state, like, if you read about people who had near-death experience, you know, they go on the other side and they come back. Well, I was in that state because I ended up in this place where only thing I felt was love. And I was shown without words. I understood it. It was told to me that everything that
Yeah.
ever happened, everything that's happening, everything that will ever happen is there for us to grow in love and wisdom.
Yeah, and it is. And you have told lots of stories in the book. And one of the things you speak about, and I think for the listeners, is the differences between how people describe how they feel when they're not in their hearts and how they feel when they are in their hearts. And you're explaining your own. Right. This is, this epiphany you had. Could you speak with us about the differences and the deep awareness and becoming masterful at conversing with our heart? Because I don't think people think daily, okay, today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to talk to my heart. Or they might think, hey, I'm going to be a little more empathetic with myself, more understanding with myself. Because a lot of this is about where our ego goes and how it beats us up in the process, saying we're not enough because we're constantly living with that old tape. But the only way you can open up the heart is to know you are enough, you're just okay the way you are, and to accept who you are. Yes?
Yes, I like if I ask you, is a baby worthy of love?
Is what?
A baby worthy of love?
Yes.
Is a toddler in the throes of the terrible twos worthy of love?
Yes.
Is a teenager worthy of love?
Yes.
Is a 20? At what point did we stop being worthy of love?
Never.
Exactly. We only stopped being worthy of love when we created a story that we were. But the truth is, our essence, who we are, is love. I believe this is for me, I believe that love is not an emotion. It's actually our essence, it's our state of being. We all have access to that. And that when people tell me they don't know how to connect with their heart, I know it's because there's not enough gratitude. That's why gratitude is super important. When you're grateful, you basically feel like you're heaven on earth. When we are ungrateful, we feel like hell on earth. So the key The only four state of being that lives in the heart is love, gratitude, inspiration, and wisdom. Love, gratitude, inspiration, and wisdom. And when people tell me, "Oh, I'm not sure what I should be doing in my life. I don't know, and I don't feel guided." I know that that person does not have a connection with their heart through gratitude. When people see, and I'm going to use my favorite prop. I have a yin and a yang, and I use this all the time. And for me, it's a perfect visual to show that whenever we face a challenge, there can be an equal and opposite benefit if we look at it. And I tell a corny story, but it's the perfect corny story. One day, a scientist is observing a butterfly coming out of a cocoon, and it's a huge struggle. It takes hours and hours and hours. So, to be nice to the butterfly, he cut the cocoon open. But by doing this, the butterfly has nothing to struggle against. So the wings are weak, it can never fly, and it dies like that. So if we can start looking at every single thing that ever happened to us, which is, that spiritual experience I was sharing with you, everything that's ever happened to you, that is happening, that will ever happen to you, is for you to grow in love and wisdom. So when a challenge happens, if you take a deep breath and then you go, "Since I'm worthy of love, how am I going to use this to my advantage?" And that changes your whole life. That's when you really have a conversation with your heart, because you're not looking to the outside world to, make you feel better. You're starting to learn to self-soothe, and we all have to learn to self-soothe.
I think it the question might be what listeners might want to think about. Is it happening to me or is it happening for me? And the difference between two and four, it's happening for you for a reason. Now, the bigger part is how do we accept that? And in your chapter titled The Game of Creation, The Eight Mirrors of the Self, you introduce this game of creating a fulfilling life. Now, a lot of people might be going on saying, it's happening to me. You did this to me. You're the reason. You're the fault, whatever. What we're trying to do is get you to shift the perspective. No one else out there does it to you. You do it all to yourself. Can you speak with our audiences about the game and what are the challenges in playing the game?
Yes, the biggest challenge we all face, and it comes back to when we were babies. When we are born, love has to come from the outside. And if someone is there to respond, when you cry, you feel I'm queen or king in the world. And when there's nobody to respond to your need, you feel what's wrong with me. So we create stories because you can have two people with the same challenge. And one person takes off from it, becomes amazing, and the other person goes down with it. So what happens is like, and I've asked this question to thousands of people. Raise your hand if you've never had huge challenges. And so far, with thousands of people, only one person, it was a young girl, and she said, "Me, and I'm scared because I don't know what's gonna happen, when a challenge happens." So when something happens, when we feel to us, we feel we're a victim. As long as we're a victim, we're going to be stuck. So it's our choice. We have a choice every single time to go into victim mentality. This is happening to me. What's wrong? All these things, which is just going to take your power away. Or, yeah, if, look, we're human beings. So what I do is when these things happen to me, I go into victimhood for 5 minutes. I allow myself to feel the pity party. Poor me, why is this happening? Then I go, okay, Liz, that's a lie. Center yourself. How are you going to use this to your advantage? And that is so empowering. And we have a choice. Even if what I'm telling you is baloney, if you choose to look at life from that point of view, I know because I've worked with thousands of people, your life is just going to get better and better and better instead of getting more and more scared. Because every time something happens that's challenging, most people just end up shutting down their heart more and more and more, where their world becomes so small that it's impossible to be happy. But if you walk towards life, and whenever there's support or challenges, it's all happening for you. Now you create a different world, much more an expansion, an inspiring world.
Can you speak about, though you referenced this at many points in the book, the eight mirrors of self? How can the principles outlined in that eight mirrors of self help these individuals who are listening navigate and grow from difficult circumstances? Because, like you said, you only had one girl who put her hand up because she was very young and hadn't had any issues at that point. We're all going to face challenges. And I think it's like a friend of mine put a post on LinkedIn today about walking around with these 25-pound weights around his neighborhood. And everyone always would always ask him, "Why are you wearing those weights?" And he said, "Well, because it's making me grow stronger." It's kind of like we all have the weight of the world that we have to deal with, or relationships, or whatever it might be, financial circumstances. And if you know how to carry that weight, like you're talking about, you literally can become stronger. But most people don't look at it as becoming stronger. They say, "Are you going to go through it, or are you going to grow through it?" Right? That's an old statement. It's been around forever. But I think the point is, we're trying to say, how do you grow through this with grace, with ease, with understanding your heart? And why did you attract it into your life in the first place? What did you need to learn? And I want you to comment about the eight mirrors of self.
Okay, but you remember my story about, my brother dying and my father cancer? That was a big ow.
Yeah.
So this is where I've learned what I'm telling you. Things are not happening to us, they are happening for us. Because when you face a challenge, there's only two reasons why you face a challenge. Number one, it's because you need to master something, because obviously, if you mastered it, it's not a challenge anymore. Number two, it's sending you in a direction that you need to go, that you are either aware you need to go, but you're kicking and screaming because it's too comfy, like me when I left my chiropractic life. It was like, oh, I don't want to go. It was so comfy, that's scary to stop doing what I know so well and people love me to become a coach. But I had no choice. In 2003, I was standing behind my patients and I'd be crying. I took my girlfriend out for her birthday, and right in the middle of birthday dinner, I started crying. So I took 3 months off and I go, okay, Liz, you need to challenge yourself to give your heart what it wants. So this is one example of I knew I should be moving, but I was not doing it. The other example is like the one with my father dying, cancer, my brother dying. When, that one is the most challenging one because when it happens, unless you have already a statement of purpose for your life, it's harder to decipher how is this guiding you. But if you open your heart and you go with love for yourself, you go, all right, God, the universe, whatever word you use for it, it's like God wants me to have this experience. How am I going to learn from this? What is this forcing me to do? Like if you look at the different areas of life, like is this like if it's let's say you get cancer. So what am I supposed to learn, right now? How am I going to use this to my advantage? For me, with my background as a holistic chiropractor, I look at it like the health triangle. It's structural, biochemical, and emotional. So when you remove the blocks, then the healing can happen. So, maybe you need to exercise. Maybe you need to get chiropractic care, massage therapy, yoga, like you need movement, you need to do things for your body. You might need surgery. Biochemically, everything we eat and drink becomes part of our body. Even creams you put on your body, like EMF, electromagnetic field, all these things that had an impact on our body. And the other one is our emotions. When we are not grateful, it decreases our health. Like I've had many people come in my life who had cancer, and they all told me the ones that I was able to help them turn it around. And they said that cancer had been a great blessing for them because all of a sudden, these things that they were not doing for themselves before, they were not listening to their heart. Now they feel like I have nothing to lose, and they start doing all of these things that were important for them. So sometimes it's about leaving a bad relationship or a bad job or, moving exactly at the place that they want to move. So, our health can be a reflection of what's happening and a great place for us to play the game of life. Financial is all about self-worth. So, if you want to increase your self-worth, gratitude. That's why I love this work, because every time you gain gratitude, you increase your self-worth.
Yeah,
Every time I'm
definitely.
grateful, we decrease our self-worth.
Well, these are principles and things that we're talking about, which I think many of the listeners know about. It isn't about a knowing, it's about a practicing. And that brings me to this next question. Your book suggests a lot of deep level of reflection. I think many of us, and me included, many times in my life, I didn't go to deep levels of reflection. You're moving through life just trying to get done what you have to get done. And you say to yourself, what I want is reprieve. I don't want to actually dive deep into anything. I want to skip over it because I might find out something that I don't really want to see. So I'm really just going to go put it in the back seat of the car or the trunk and let it ride along for a while. So, what practices or strategies do you recommend for individuals who are starting the journey of, we're just going to call it self-awareness, through heart-centered conversations. That time is plural, not conversation. Because if we're going to actually speak with this heart, and that is a deep reflection, right? That's a, hey, I want to hear what my heart has to say. I really want to understand it. How often do you think individuals out there are actually having a conversation with their heart? Probably not very often.
Well, I find my clients, the more they do the work, the more they want to do the work. And they tell something that would have taken me a year to get over, now takes me a month. Something that was taking me a month, now takes me a week. Something that would have taken me a week, takes me a day. Something that would have taken me a day, takes me. Like the more you do it, because it just feels so good when you are in there that it's easy, it becomes really easy. Or, like, I don't like being out of my heart. It doesn't feel good. So, why should I stay? And we don't have to be afraid of anything. Like, what you're saying is so bang on. A lot of people are afraid of doing the quote-unquote deep work because what if I discover something that I don't like? The only thing you're going to discover if you do the deep work is you're worthy of love. You're going to let go of a huge, huge weight, a big illusion. That came often from when you were a little kid. Like, I can't tell you the number because I do the mind-body work that I do. Like, a big grown-up man who starts crying when I'm testing in on I love myself. Why? Because when he was born, he was crying for mom, but mom was in the room and he was in the nursery and she did not come. And he created this whole story that something was wrong with him and he was unworthy of love and that. Worse, he should stop asking for what he wants, which is mommy, because if I ask for her and if she doesn't come, like, oh, it hurts too much. So it's an illusion because I love it. If I'm doing this with a man who's got a baby, and I ask, so do you think there's any time in your baby's life where you didn't respond to your baby when I knew he was crying? Yeah. Is it because you didn't love your baby? No. Is it because your baby's unworthy of love? No. And then, like, the big aha happens when, they start to, they say you can't solve a paradox at the level the paradox was created. That's why I like using that trick where I ask, as a parent looking at your own baby, what do you see? And then I bring them back into that level. And it's like, ah. It's really beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to do. It's not scary. Like it's for me, it's much scarier not to go deep than to go deep. And
Well, I.
especially men often are afraid of doing it, but I love working with men because once men get it, they're like superpower. They start doing the work because they realize every time I do this, actually I become more powerful.
I always loved the work, and you said you remind me, and that's what I was looking for here. Not It's been a while ago since Byron Katie's been on the show, and many other people know. But she had those four liberating questions because we make stuff up. We live in a
Yes.
world of MSU where we make it up. But I'm going to repeat for the audience the questions, and you're alluding to the same thing. Question one, is it true? Can you absolutely know it's true? How do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? And the last one, who would you be without the thought? So the point here is this, you're advocating this same deep reflection with the heart. And you have to ask the questions of the heart, right? And so you do all this deep work, and inside the book, you've got great questions for people. Looking ahead, how do you envision readers engaging with your book, and what kind of impact do you hope Conversation with the Heart will have in the long run? And you said earlier, it was interesting, when you quit your cushy job and came to do this, that you wanted to leave a legacy, or you aim to do this through this work, which was healing millions of people, right? Or if it's not millions, hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands, it doesn't matter. The fact is that your work is healing people. What do you envision for people to get engaged with this book, to use this book, the long-term results from the book, and the legacy that you can leave from the book? So it's a four-part question.
Okay, my legacy. I want to bring happiness in the world because that time when I opened up my heart, I was telling you at the beginning where my heart super opened, it was like being in heaven. And when I came back down from that place, it was like, wow, this is amazing. So every day of my life, I've been working towards being in that state more all the time. I think that's the path to enlightenment. I'm not enlightened yet. I'm a human being, but more and more I get to live from that place. So my legacy, I know if people read this book and do the exercise at the end of each chapters, I know that if people read this book and do the exercise at the end of each chapter, they're going to have a much better connection with their heart, and they're going to start to feel really that they are worthy of love. This is one part of my work. Now, the other part is the my big chunk of work also is working with the subconscious mind, because there's the conscious part that wants us to be connected with our heart. But even if you're connected with your heart, you have conditioned responses. And that's my book that's coming out with Jack Canfield, hopefully by the end of the year. So Jack has sold 600 million books. So hopefully we'll sell 1 million and my
And
mission will be completed.
well,
So
it's interesting you say that because tomorrow my favorite hypnotherapist is, I see him at 3 o'clock. And the subconscious mind is, for those of you who are listening and you understand this, it's so important to dig in deeply with someone helping you by the suggestions that are being made to understand what's going on in the subconscious mind and the blocks that you have. In that particular area, are there specific exercises out of your book, because they're there, or practices that you'd recommend for readers to enhance their ability to have a meaningful conversation with their heart? Is there anything that pops up for you that you can actually tell them that would be a good thing for them to do?
In my book, the biggest one you can do that will help you have a really good conversation with your heart is gratitude, for sure. If you can take the time to acknowledge what you're hurting from, and then go and ask yourself, how did it build my wings? So that will really help you have a bigger picture. And the subconscious work, like this is what I teach, like that's part of the next book. Like those two things are actually super important, because every time you let go of a subconscious belief, the same thing happens. You reconnect with yourself and you understand in your heart, not in your head, that you're worthy of love. So the two parts are super important. I also have a tool called the Best Friend Journal, and you can download it, bestfriendjournal.com. And what you do is you write 3 to 5 things you can be really proud of that you've done that day. And then if you have any negative self-talk, you write down, what would I tell my best friend or my own child if they told me that, you know, something negative about yourself, about your life? How would you advise them? So you write the solution for them, and then you reflect on how you're going to use it for yourself. So when you start coming from that place of trusting that you can always be there for yourself, it nurtures the self and helps you feel a lot happier. When someone does something to you that you don't like and you feel like this is done to me, not for me, you ask yourself, who in my life right now feels the same way? Who feels the same way? Because I've done something that makes them feel that the same way I'm feeling. Because what it does is when we are feeling that somebody's doing something to us, we feel like they're wrong and we are right. So become self-righteous by asking ourselves, where do I do the same thing? Do I do it to my spouse, to my kids, to my employee, to my clients? You know, and then we humble ourselves and we can go, okay, then it makes it even easier to say, all right, so what's the benefit to me that this is happening? There's so many things that we can do to connect with the heart, but gratitude is key for sure.
Well, that's a good point that you make, and nobody, and we all can be reminded to have more gratitude more often about what's in our lives and what's manifested so far, regardless of our circumstances. The fact that we're breathing, living human beings on this planet. You know, I tell people that are, you know, that are pretty, oh, let's just say average. You know, you got a car, you got gas in your car, you got money in the bank, you got a job. You know, you need to be grateful for that because there's many parts in this world where people don't have any of that, right? And so all you have to do is compare and contrast a little bit. I love the Dalai Lama because it's really about being compassionate and really showing compassion to the rest of the world. So, Dr. Lise, is there anything else you want to share with our audience as we sum up our interview here about conversations or conversation with the heart or the work in general? I know you've got workshops, you've got a community, you've got discussion groups, you got people can sign up with you at your website to have a session with you, but so that they could maybe accelerate their progress in this area. You're there to support them. So can you tell them how they could be supported and in what ways would be the best ways to reach you?
Yeah, for sure you can contact my assistant at the office, info@drlijanel.com. But if I was someone out there right now that's wondering what you can do to accelerate the results, get the book for sure. But I also have a seminar called Extreme Freedom. It's a 2-day retreat where you get to learn how to open your heart even to the biggest challenges you've ever had, extreme gratitude. And then you spend a whole day creating a statement of purpose for your life. So that takes care of the conscious part of how you want to use your time. And then I have my Unleash Your Dream Life where I teach people how to do the subconscious work on themselves in all the different areas of life. So you learn for finance, for career, for health, for cravings, for all of those different. So by combining these two tools, and if people want more, you know, one-on-one, you can have one-on-one coaching with me, with my coaches. I have like 18 coaches that have been trained by me. So there's all kinds of tools available to everybody that, you know, any price is available. I'm sure you can find ways of affording all those.
Well, and one of the ways for our listeners to get there is conversationwiththeheart.com. There you can learn more about the book. You can actually order the book right there online. Dr. Lise also has her own website. This is the kind of more the conversation with the heart. We're going to put links to these websites so that people can get access to them. So look for it in the blog entry that we've got. Dr. Janelle, thank you so much for being on Inside Personal Growth. It was a very fast 40-minute conversation, but I was really intrigued by what you had to say. I know my listeners were as well. Again, we'll have a link to inside the blog to the book Conversation with the Heart. Also, there's an audiobook for $9.95, an ebook for $9.95, and you get the paperback book for $19.95. So you can go on that website and buy it there, and you can go to her personal website, learn more about her other services and so on. Thanks so much, Dr. Janelle. Appreciate you. Thanks for the good
I
work that you're
appreciate
doing.
you. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to bring my message in the world. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Namaste to you.
Let's stay.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on Inside Personal Growth. We appreciate your support. And for more information about new podcasts, please go to insidepersonalgrowth.com or any of your favorite channels to listen to our podcast. Thanks again, and have a wonderful day.